The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey everybody, welcome to Reporting is Eligible. We just beat the Bears for the second time, which is nice. I have had just the weirdest day ever on Earth, and I won't get into all the details of it because some of it involves work, but it's very cold in my basement right now because there's a window open, and I'll leave that at that. So anyway, to help me go over the Bears game and to break down, well, the bye, I guess, in Urban Wauwatosa, we have...
Hey, it's J.R. Radcliffe, trending sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Paul, I want to lend a little bit of insight into your issues. It involves the Sears Tower. It involves a exercise bike going through a window.
Yeah.
And it involves an inter-office sort of rivalry is the wrong word. And an inter-office like sort of resentment.
Yeah.
So I know you're not going to talk about all that stuff,
nope.
But I just want to say that it's super interesting a little bit.
Thank you for that.
And so unrelated to that, I'm a little concerned because we haven't talked about what we're going to talk about on the bye edition of this episode. We always have something fun. And here we are at the end of the season because this bye is super old and super late in the year. We have not discussed this. So we need to get our stuff together. We need to know what we're going to talk about next week, Paul. I'm very concerned.
Yeah. I have not even put any thought into funsies yet other than I am. I'm writing a game for Acme Packing Company. It's done except for editing, but that's not podcast related. That's just me writing related. Matt helped make a picture, so appreciate that. Thank you. But yeah, we got to come up with something that's actually funsies. So I will. I'll take suggestions. I'll take even Patreon and Twitter suggestions. If anybody wants to hear anything goofy, let me know. We'll make it a topic. But I actually have a list I keep of off week topics for baseball and football.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm getting low, so
okay. We could just sort of recite like more points 99. I think I almost said more porn 99, which would be a completely different. That's not a podcast medium.
And I'm Matt, but you can call me.
Someone has entered the chat. Thank you, Matt.
Yes.
Oh God!
I think we did trivia last time, right? That's what that was.
Yes, it was. We did the lightning round when I forgot BJ Raji had an interception.
That's right. So we kind of shot that shot. We've done parody songs.
In other annual news, the domain renewal for fartmcduty.xyz is coming up, and they will not allow me to renew it.
What? Why not?
The domain company is going out of business.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I thought they were legitimately saying that is beneath you.
Yeah.
You're too childish.
They said, I got an email that was like, due to issues with like the Republic Bank of India.
hard to argue with that.
Or is it okay?
I love the story where the Republic Bank of India brings Fart McDuty to its knees. That's incredible.
Well, the hits on the website were actually pretty high up in the beginning and have, but then again, I've stopped linking to it on social media and whatnot.
Yeah, that's really, really for the best.
Yeah, it is.
Speaking of really, 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 really sucks, the Chicago Bears again lose to the Green Bay Packers.
A tradition unlike any other. They say it's the Masters, but it's actually this.
Masters with much worse weather.
My favorite thing about this week so far is the like one Bears fan. I should rephrase. Multiple singular Bears fans have held three opinions all at the same time. One, Justin Fields is the future based on this game and his two interceptions. Two, he is going to terrorize the Packers for the next 15 years, I think is the general consensus of Bears Twitter. And three, the Packers have no right to celebrate this win because the Bears are trash. So, like, pick one.
I don't think those are completely mutually exclusive opinions, because Justin Fields isn't the whole team, and the whole team is trash. There's like barely any NFL players on this team. They were all traded away or hurt. And
fair enough.
I actually think he had a good game, especially while he was still playing in the structure of the offense. And I also think they told him not to run after the touchdown. Like, I think that they wanted, he has a hurt shoulder. He missed last week. I don't think they wanted to expose him to any more hits. And I think they told him to work on your passing. And, you know, I think it was a practice game for him in the second half. And that's one of the reasons they lost.
I'm surprised they had him running at all in the first place. And maybe they didn't. Maybe that was on his own. But it sure seemed like that would have been the prudent thing to do. Like, let him run through passing reps. Losses don't hurt you right now. Just don't get injured worse. So
yeah,
he gets that running touchdown and it's cool. It's like, wow, they're actually going to let him run. And then, yeah, they shut that right down.
My favorite part of the week was looking up how many passing touchdowns Justin Fields has. Because every year I spend some time looking up if the current Bear quarterback is going to break the Bears passing touchdown record, single season touchdown record, because the Bears single season passing touchdown record is 29, held by Eric Kramer. That's all time, by the way, not Super Bowl era. So going back as far as the Bears go back. But no, Justin Fields only has 13 passing touchdowns and only 5 games left. So that's not happening this year. Maybe next year.
Christian Watson's going to wind up with more touchdowns than Justin Fields has passing this year. It's going to be wild stuff.
There's a decent chance.
What's the Bears record for total touchdowns?
Oh, I didn't look that up. It's actually really hard to parse passing touchdowns plus rushing and receiving touchdowns. Like, reference does not offer an easy way to combine them. And I wasn't in, I actually thought about doing that because I was going to check some other stuff, but I was not in the mood for the Excel work that it required to do it. So I did not.
I was going to say, because there's probably some like 30s era Bears quarterback that ran for a bunch.
There was. It's actually like the guy who has the ninth most passing touchdowns for the Bears had like a ridiculous rushing touchdown season or two, too. A Tobin Roach-esque season.
Let's talk about the Packers.
So we could start with their rushing a little bit, because I thought it was an interesting game for Aaron Jones. He looked okay at times, but obviously he was coming off a game where he left last week with an injury, came back, but maybe he wasn't 100%. And AJ Dillon looked really, really good.
Yeah.
So they've had this ability to have one guy, you know, I don't know if they've had many games where both of them have been great at the same time, or at least very good at the same time, but they've always had one of them clicking. And so it seems convenient that right now AJ Dillon seems to have picked it up.
Yeah, I think Jones needs the bye, and this will help. I was going to say they should sit him if they had a game, but they don't. He was already hurt, and he got tackled super awkwardly like twice in this game. That one where he got bent over backwards with his toes pinned on the ground, I thought he was going to blow out a knee. Thankfully, he didn't. Mm. But, you know, Patrick Taylor ended up playing a little bit in the second half of this game, and that's as much of a sign as any that Aaron needed some break.
He also got tackled in that same way that hurt AJ Dillon a few weeks back.
Yeah, he did.
Where he was stiff arming someone who then like tried to give him a flying leg lock.
Yeah, not a good way to tackle. Very annoying. Mm-hmm. But AJ was good. AJ seems to be getting stronger as the season goes on. So that's something. That's good. They're getting him outside more too. He's getting more of the Jonesy type runs, which work better for the Packers than power up the middle. It's not a good way for them to go. All their linemen weigh 280 pounds. It doesn't work.
Okay, but like Zach Tom actually sealing the edge at left tackle weighing 280 pounds.
Yeah, he's good outside when he gets to move. He's just bad like going straight forward. That's all.
Did you see Myers on his absolute width?
He has one every week. Yeah, I did see it. It went out of my mind so quickly. I'm just mad that Creed Humphrey's not on the team.
Well, I think it was A.J. Dillon's touchdown when Myers.
It was. You're right.
He had a clean shot on 57, which I believe is the guy from Wisconsin, isn't it?
That is Sanborn, yes.
Scantron? What's his name?
Sanborn.
Sanborn.
Undrafted free agent out of Wisconsin, holding his own, baby.
He's good. He's really good. Wish we had him, and we could have, but we don't.
It's true.
But Myers absolutely whiffed on him. It was kind of funny.
It couldn't have been any worse than Aaron Rodgers' pass to, was that Randall Cobb?
It was Randall Cobb.
Inexplicably horrid throw that honestly, I don't think I'll ever forget it.
I will never forget it. It was maybe one of the worst throws of his entire career, just for degree of difficulty and degree of failure.
Oh, I can't imagine there can't be a worse throw than that one in his career. There's no way.
And it's not like you can blame a miscommunication because Randall Cobb wasn't
his boy.
It was out of bounds too. Like there was no place for Randall Cobb to run to where he could have caught the ball. It was 10 feet over his head and out of bounds. So it was just just a weirdly bad throw.
Well, did you see when like Rodgers and Cobb were looking at each other and Rodgers just kind of shrugged?
Yep.
Like what the hell was that, man?
Yeah, so the bad throw doesn't end up haunting them because they end up getting the first down. That was late in the game when the Packers were kind of humming along and they had to rally. Like, you know, it feels like a comfortable win, but it wasn't a comfortable win. They needed to really kind of like circle the wagons as the game went on, and they end up, you know, taking the lead on a wobbly field goal, which is not a given because the wind was swirling. So every kick was an adventure. Most of them went through, although the Packers special teams blocked one, which
yeah,
I think you could give special teams some credit in the whole win overall.
Okay, so who was it that blocked it? Because my timeline said like six
Dean
different people.
Lowry.
Dean Lowry.
It was Dean Lowry, really?
Yeah, Dean Lowry said that he had the pain in his hand to prove it
after
the game.
So I saw Kenny, I saw TJ Slayton, and I saw Dean Lowry.
Yeah, I thought Kenny got it. Okay. Good for Dean Lowry. Probably his best player of the year.
Yeah, maybe. So it was not a done deal, but the Packers, you know, they got things moving a little bit lately. You know, you were talking about the offensive line. You talked about Zach Tom a little bit, but you're saying like overall, you think what you've seen this team is just better when they're pulling and stuff, and not, you know, that straightforward power stuff isn't working for the bodies that they have.
Yes, they definitely are, and I think they've realized it. They had a lot of just straight power out of RPOs until this week, and a lot of their runs this week, especially with Dylan, were funky stuff, were pulling guards and traps and things like that, which they're much better at. Like, those guys can move. Like, all the Packer linemen, they're all, you know, varying degrees of high-ras guys, except for Josh Myers. But, like, they're best when they're in motion and able to actually, like, run and get, you know, set guys up with their feet. When they're just going forward, that's just power on power, and that's not what they're built for. Like, they're built to move. They're built to be athletes, and they're not hogs, so... I think that they're starting to actually turn that into a solid game plan. That was nice to see. One of the highlights of the game, actually.
Hmm. Yeah, especially without Bakhtiari, you figure they might be struggling a little bit. But
that's why they did it. He actually is a horse. But Yosh, you know, still screwing that up. Yosh Nijman out there is not a big, heavy guy. He is a guy who can move. And that's his bread and butter. He and Tom are basically just like fast, big guys. But not that big, and that's what they are best at. So
they are tight ends on a bulking deck.
That is exactly what they are.
So can we? I guess we have to address Bakhtiari real quick.
Appendectomy.
He was out because of an emergency.
It's a new one, at least.
So I looked into. This is the first time I've ever actually been curious as to the appendix as an organ.
Okay.
Because I was like, well, Bakhtiari is not a very big dude. Like, does the surgery often cause weight loss? And some people do have trouble eating coming back from an appendectomy. But did you know that the appendix is only the size of an earthworm?
Yeah, it's tiny.
I didn't know that.
Oh, I didn't know it was that small.
I thought it was like the size of a fist. It's your it's your pinky finger.
If it was the size of a fist, it would kill way more people when it ruptured. That's the big secret of the appendix, yes.
Well, my best friend Chaz survived a ruptured appendix. And like no one believed him.
Oh, jeez. My sister just had an emergency appendectomy early this year, and I've been paranoid ever since because my sister is just a couple years younger than me. She's 38 years old. That's kind of late action for your appendix to decide all of a sudden that it's ready to be you know, it's ready for removal. And so now I've been paranoid. Every time I feel pain on my left side, I'm thinking, oh my God, it's the appendix.
I do the same thing because I ignore things for too long when they're wrong with me. And like that one always gets me, like, if I ignore this, I'll die. So pay special attention to it.
And you probably won't die.
Probably not.
You probably won't. But it's
there's a good chance you won't.
Yeah.
I had pain on my left side once. I went to the doctor. It turns out it was diverticulitis, which I thought only old people could get, but nope.
Mm. Well, speaking of live for the moment, because you're going to die soon anyway, Aaron Rodgers on third and fourth down, guys.
Eat Arby's.
Dude,
Why does he keep doing this?
He is the king of YOLO. You know, I this is a comparison that Aaron Rodgers would personally hate, but it was really interesting watching Monday Night Football when Tom Brady led that comeback for the Buccaneers. And just, I was really struck in crunch time how on time he is with everything he does. Everything is calculated. Everything is cool and chill. And yeah, he's not perfect. And yeah, he's not taking risks and hitting 50-yard bombs down the field. That's not happening. But everything is moving. It's constant motion. And it works.
I basically
and Aaron Rodgers is not like that at all.
The way I think about Tom Brady is that you basically can't stop him from completing a 4-yard pass. Like, a receiver can be as covered as possible, and it's just like, if you're in front of him, he'll throw it just a little behind him, and he'll catch it. And if you are too inside leverage, he'll throw it outside leverage perfectly, and the guy will catch it. Like, that's what Tom Brady does, and that's why they pick up first downs all the time in these situations, because Tom Brady doesn't throw 30-yard bombs on fourth and one. That is a stupid thing to do, and he doesn't.
Well, that's because we have Aaron Rex Grossman Rodgers.
That's what I'm saying. Dude can't wait to throw it long.
It's another one of him being a sucker. Like, that's what it is. It's defenses realizing that this is a turnover play, and if we show him this defense, he will throw it deep, which maybe will burn us, but is like a 30% play if you throw a bomb. Like, and an incompletion, we get the ball. And if it's a completion, you know, whatever. Oh, well, we tried. But like, that's what it is. He's making the correct call like he always does, but it's not really the correct call. It is what the defense wants him to do. It's super annoying. I'm extra annoyed because I tweeted that this was stupid on Twitter, and I had a bunch of people who like Aaron Rodgers' political views show up on my mentions and say, oh, you know better than a 3-time MVP? Like, and I mean, I'm just me, so...
Isn't it 4-time MVP?
I don't care. And this
4-time.
4-time MVP. And I'm like, in this instance, yes, I do know better than Aaron Rodgers. I absolutely do. He is wrong here.
Hey. Can I speak on the subject of Aaron Rodgers' crappy political opinions briefly?
Sure.
It's only tangential.
Yep.
Are you guys aware of who the Liver King is?
Nope.
Sounds like not an interesting thing to me.
Liver King is he's a dude who sells supplements under the guise of like the 9 ancestral tenets. Like, basically eat raw liver and you can look super jacked.
Oh, he's on steroids, right?
Yeah, he just got outed as being on steroids.
But everybody knew he was on steroids, right?
What?
Did you drop a 9 ancestral tenets like we're supposed to know what the hell that is?
He did. Yeah, yes. But do you want him to explain it? I was just going to.
I don't know the 9 ancestral tenets. Okay. They're dumb. But anyway, so the guy who outed him was on the Bro Jogan podcast.
Uh-huh.
And they were making fun of the Liver King in the exact same way that I make fun of Aaron Rodgers. They said that he's a guy who doesn't hang out with people smarter than him and constantly thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. Mm-hmm. And so he says stupid cornball things and no one ever calls him on it.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I used those exact words to describe Aaron Rodgers.
It's very, very common. It's not just a Rodgers phenomenon either.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
I don't know why he ever needs to throw the ball downfield when he could just give a sweep to Christian Watson and that's like 30 yards right there.
It works very, very well.
Okay, so... When the Packers were up 1 point, I said in the Acme Packing Company Slack chat that Rodgers was going to go for a touchdown for the sneaky backdoor cover, and not 2 minutes later was the jet sweep to Christian Watson.
It was such a good jet sweep.
Oh, really? Well, it was the same look that they gave earlier on,
Didn't they pitch it back to Jones? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, they did like jet motion and Watson drew man coverage and I thought it was maybe a short pass or something, but yeah. It was a play that they had run earlier, except this time they handed it off.
How special are we talking Christian Watson? Because he's on a heater right now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like everybody's really excited to crown him the next Packers Hall of Famer, but he's doing things that, like, man,
it's real good. It's really good.
He's real. He's real.
First of all, big props to the outfit he showed up to the stadium in, which was phenomenal. The kind of outfit you want your receiver wearing, where you just look like the coolest person in the world. second, the jet sweep was the fastest play of the season for any player in the NFL. He reached 21.72 miles per hour on that jet sweep.
Oh, so he unseated DeSean Jackson.
He actually
running
tied DeSean Jackson.
Tied DeSean. Okay, but he did it while carrying the ball, as opposed to DeSean Jackson, who did it running a route.
DeSean Jackson is also, 5'10", 185 pounds?
And he's also 185 years old.
And yeah, that's true. He's very old. But Christian Watson is a large person. Watson also leads the league in percentage of touches where he runs over 20 miles per hour. He is super duper special.
Such a weird stat.
You know, Next Gen Stats has a lot of useful information on it, and most of it's been developed in Big Data Bowls for the last several years. But the first stats they had were just speed stats of how fast guys were running on the field. And I would like check it out like every 6 months to be like, oh, maybe there's something good here. Like, nope, it's just how fast Frank Gore is. I do not care.
How fast is Frank Gore? Frank Gore beat a golf cart in a foot race?
No, he could not. I'm glad they've made Next Gen Stats better. But yeah, they still track speed. So he's incredible. I think they have a super special superstar on their hands. He knows how to run routes now. The only problem is the hands, and they're getting better every week. This is going to be good. This is going to be don't want to crown him a Hall of Famer, but he looks just like a different player. He looks like he's playing a different sport with the balls in his hands. He makes everybody look slow. Like, he makes professional secondary members look just like they're in molasses.
I had a guy in my mentions during the game. He's like, I'm here live, and Watson is open every single play.
He's always open.
He's now just like DYAR. You wrote this here in the rundown. I don't want to pretend like I have the leaderboard up, and I am not as good at this as you are. But you're saying he's now one spot below Alan Lazard, who's 25th in the NFL in DYAR, which is a cumulative stat. It's like WAR in that regard.
Yep.
So that means that Watson's overall season output is basically right on par with what Lazard has done. And Lazard has been clicking ineffective, or I should say just been on the field all season. Is that an indictment on Lazard? Like, that's really good. But should we be concerned that Lazard has kind of disappeared from the limelight?
No, it means that Christian Watson is a deep threat. Lazard is a 10 yard guy.
Yeah. And it's not really an indictment of Lazard either, because he is still good. That 25th is actually quite good for DYAR.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's definitely a praise of Watson for doing that much damage in his limited snaps. Lazard's actually had a good season with more pressure on him without Devontae there. It's just that, you know, he's not the star. He's a second fiddle. The star is creeping up on him and will pass him in 2 weeks.
He should go to the Pro Bowl. I mean, go to the Pro Bowl is a kind of a misnomer now, but he should be selected as a Pro Bowler here.
That is correct. He should attend the fake Pro Bowl.
Do you think he'll be selected as a Pro Bowler having missed like literally half the season?
I mean, it requires him to continue rolling up stats here in the last four games.
I do think he will. Well,
we'll see how he does before the All-Star break.
First of all, like 8 million people make the Pro Bowl. Maybe that won't be true anymore because it's not real anymore. People won't pull out of it anymore. But he still will. It's a popularity contest still.
I was giving crap to a buddy of mine who's a Bears fan, where he was talking about how Justin Fields should be a Pro Bowl quarterback this year. And I was like, Bears first-round quarterbacks and Pro Bowls, man, they go together like lamb and tuna fish. And then I realized that the Bears actually have like 9 first round Pro Bowl quarterbacks.
I was just gonna say, like, tons of Bears quarterbacks have made the Pro Bowl. Mitch Trubisky definitely did.
Mitch Trubisky did. Before
Sexy
that,
Rexy, he had to have made it.
He didn't. He did not make a Pro Bowl.
Oh wow.
But before that, technically, Harbaugh made a Pro Bowl, but he did it as a Colt.
As a Colt, yeah, I remember.
But
that
he was
season.
Still the Bears first round pick.
Yeah.
Jim McMahon, and then a bunch of dudes from the black and white era.
Well, Sid Luckman, I'm sure. Although I have no idea where
Luckman
was drafted.
Made a bajillion Pro Bowls. Yeah, he was very, very good.
Mike Tomczak, not a first round pick, but I wonder if he got in there at one point as like a no, probably not. All right, what else do we need to touch on from the offense?
So we did talk about Aaron Rodgers being doo doo butt cheeks already.
Yeah,
he was not good.
He was bad. He had a rough game. I think the thumb was bugging him a little bit in this game. I think that's probably responsible for some of the questionable throws. Like, he also one-hopped DeGuerra, and while he hates DeGuerra, I do think he meant to get it to him. There are some hurt throws, I think. So,
oh my God, Aaron Rodgers had a 58% completion percentage, threw for 182 yards,
yep,
with an 85 passer rating.
Yeah, it was not
that
great.
That was actually his third worst game of the season.
I mean,
brutal.
He wasn't good.
Passer rating.
That's why they had to come back.
Mm-hmm. Which is funny because against the Eagles, he threw for 68%, 140 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 95 passer rating. Did he throw it way less against the Eagles?
I don't have their stats up, but yes.
Okay. I'm so tired of passer rating. It
passer
just
rating
doesn't
sucks, yeah.
Doesn't work.
I'm sorry. Okay, so for his AYA, because I don't think they have any
AYA.
Okay, so his adjusted yards gained per pass attempt,
yep,
was better against Chicago than it was against Philly.
That's weird, but whatever.
According to that, his worst game of the season was against Detroit.
All right. That's,
and then his second worst was against Minnesota.
That checks out. That Detroit game was awful. I guess the one thing I did want to mention is every game, every Packer game where they kind of have choked away losses early in the season seems to have a moment where it was just bizarre, and had it gone their way, they maybe would have won it. And I feel like we almost had that with the Dylan fall down, don't get touched, get up, pick up the first down, but, you know, it's blown dead. That could have cost them a lot and should have been reviewed, and I don't know why it wasn't.
Yes, it can be reviewed, but if I recall correctly, if a official blows it dead early, you can't review it.
I think you can review it. You just can't advance
the ball. Can't advance the ball? Okay.
So, that's why they tend to let guys, like, run away with incomplete passes and stuff,
yeah,
as if it's a fumble, just so they don't accidentally blow a dead play.
So it was
that one was blown. That one was blown dead.
So. All right. Fair enough. Boo.
All right. On the defensive side of the ball, as of Tuesday night when we're recording this, we now know that Badgers defensive coordinator Jim Leonard is not coming back following the bowl game.
We do know that.
So I bring that up only because,
oh my God,
I'm
he just tweeted 15 minutes ago.
Let me tell you, this is a story that I have been following.
This is
so lame.
Very closely.
So in case they wanted their first choice for defensive coordinator from a couple years ago,
he's back, baby.
He is available at the current moment. So
Jim Leonard enters the transfer portal.
Oh yeah, he's in the transfer portal. I love it.
Did you guys see that tweet about, like, the 5 most populous cities in the United States?
Absolutely not.
So it was, 1 is New York, 2 is LA, 3 is the transfer portal, 4 is Houston.
That's good. So but the defense in this game, this is not like their worst performance. I thought the first half was kind of
yeah,
but Devondre Campbell was back, so that was good. For the most part, they're back to being kind of healthy, you know, like they've got, mm-hmm, obviously Rashawn Gary's on IR. They got a couple guys, Stokes on IR, but they're mostly healthy. Chris Barnes, I think, was a weird scratch for this game, like a healthy scratch, I think.
With
so,
Campbell back, yeah, he's got.
Yeah, so I don't know.
So
like
they
okay,
decided that McDuffie was more important than Chris Barnes.
Yeah, which is true.
Yeah,
they're
for
right,
special teams, but also,
well, yeah, he's a special teamer. But McDuffie, yeah, weighs less than I do, and like.
I think the worst part of this game is that Justin Fields gets sacked like 6 times a game. And in this game, he got sacked 0 times. That's
yeah,
the
that's
biggest
weird
indictment of the defense. Part of that.
And he wasn't using his legs in the second half.
He wasn't.
Like,
so Rashawn Gary, MVP.
No kidding. Fields was getting it out quickly in the second half, I think also on purpose, and also why they struggled a little bit in the second half. But yeah, it's not a great. It's not a great showing. You figure Inigbari should get 1 or 2 there. And Kenny Clark was blowing stuff up the middle, too. But, yeah, not a great pass rushing performance. And that's where they, I think, fell flat a little bit in terms of being able to defend the pass.
And Jair got burnt a couple times, which I don't know if we would see that under normal circumstances. But, of course, he has the big interception.
Both times Jair got burnt, it was him getting greedy.
It was. It was him
coming at the line. Yep.
Yep. And, then he made fun of EQ after the game, which don't do that when you got torched by him a couple times.
Well, it's funny was, like, I'm surprised the Bears threw a comeback route to EQ, seeing as how Jair was doing nothing but jumping those. Like
gutsy.
why not have him do a stop and go?
Well, they did that.
They did do that.
A couple times.
What I'm saying is,
Nikhil Harry did that too. Yeah.
Right. So what I'm saying is, the interception that essentially lost them the game was EQ on a comeback.
Yeah.
Like that is true. Jair was doing whole game was jumping.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good throw though. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, according to former Packers legend JT O'Sullivan, it was a good throw, and that was 100% on EQ. You're not allowed to disagree with JT because he gets really mad on Twitter. And
he does do that.
EQ handled that very well, by the way. The shade that Jair Alexander threw him after the game, he could have, I think, probably not taken the road he took, and he was chill about it.
He was chill.
Which props to that. That's cool. I dig it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have at least been like not scoreboard, but stat line. Like,
watch the film, baby.
So.
I'm Equanimee St. Brown. I'm not an all-pro. Like, look what I did to you, Jair Alexander, the greatest up-and-coming cornerback in the NFL. Look what I did to you.
I don't know. I don't remember the EQ catch off the top of my head. But, oh, God, my dog is behind me messing with her ball.
So,
The Nikhil Harry catch is burnt into my brain.
Is it because Nikhil Harry sucks and that was the deep catch?
Not only does
Nikhil
Harry sucks, but he runs like a 4.55. 40.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Jair went to jump the short route and then stared at Justin. And so Nikhil had turned around and gotten two full ass steps away from Jair before he looked back.
Yeah.
And so that is why he didn't close on the guy who runs a 4.55, because he had two full steps on him.
A lot of Jair just doing what Jair wants in this game. A running theme now for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's freelancing at this point.
Stats over team. So I maybe my best tweet of the game. I just tweeted the words, "Ha ha, Clinton Alexander." This was after his interception, and it felt appropriate.
Yeah,
mean. Devontae Wyatt played a little bit more in this game. And graded really well by PFF, right?
That's right. Highest graded player on the team. Played really well, especially in the run. Got some pass rush, too. They should play him.
Let Devontae Wyatt eat. Let's go.
This is the biggest mystery, because if they're not playing him for off-the-field reasons, like, don't play him. Like, punish him by benching him if he's being a scrub in practice or did something criminal or something. but if he hasn't done any of those things... you need to play him. He's a first-round pick who pops every time he's on the field. I don't know what they're doing there. It makes no sense. It would be a good way to replace some lost production from Gary, to get additional pass rush up the middle and to stop running teams from running for 8 yards a carry on you. Those would be all good things. So I don't know what their deal is, but I would love I would like for somebody to ask the question of, hey, Devontae Wyatt has played well many weeks in a row. Do you think you're going to give him more snaps soon? I would like that question.
I said this is why the Packers won't credential bloggers, because we would ask questions like that and would just make them mad.
Well, we would also ask it in a really assholish way. You need to be.
I would say Devontae Wyatt has really popped on film and he's showing a good PFF ranking. Is it possible that we'll see more snaps from him in the future?
Yeah, nice work.
Put on a tie, hey, get a recorder, and report to Lombardi. Let's
sneak
go.
In.
I have a Six Sigma green belt. I took lean training. I can speak the corporate speak. I know how to talk managerially, leverage my synergies and whatnot.
I highly doubt it's disciplinary. I mean, this would be a weird pattern over the course of the season for some sort of. I think they just don't trust him. There's some aspect of the game that they feel isn't developed enough yet, and I don't know what it is, man. Because seems like he's good on film.
Yeah, Dean Lowry hasn't developed like any run stopping as of yet. So there's
yeah. The only thing that Dean Lowry is stopping is himself
and extra points.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let's not forget.
Yeah, also that. He did special teams, man.
Yep.
JR, what was the quote that you said he had? It wasn't a quote. He just indicated that he had the pain in his hand to prove it. Like he definitely took the brunt of the football, or at least that's what he said to our reporters after the game. All right. So we've got offense, defense. I don't know if there's any last thoughts before we kind of get into the playoff picture a little bit and kind of what to cheer for.
We can do that.
Oh, my God. It is full on conspiracy theory, Pepe Silvia levels of things that we need to go right to make the playoffs.
It's you're saying there's a chance territory.
It is.
In the most minute way. They cannot be eliminated in the bye week.
Which is amazing, by the way.
It is. You know what? Props to them. Congratulations. Yeah. The math is on their side and God.
I think it's because Washington also has a bye. I believe if they were playing, it would be mathematically possible.
No. Because, well, so Washington and the Giants are both in a place where like one more win for either one of them. And we know that one of them will get a win because they play each other. And then like basically two wins for either team does it, or a win in a tie does it too. Another tie will also, in addition to a win, move either one of those teams past them. So you're already behind the eight ball because one of those teams is going to get a win, but you need both of those things to happen for the Packers to be clinched behind them. And then you also have Seattle, which is in a similar boat. So you basically need Seattle to lose all, like they can afford to win one more game. Seattle needs to lose four of their last five.
Yeah.
And also the Giants or Washington loser needs to also just completely
lose
torpedo
a lot
in the last
apart.
4 weeks of the season, yes. 3 weeks of the season. Yeah. So it's highly, highly unlikely. Oh, and by the way, you also need to sneak past Detroit, but I think that would work itself out because for any of this
we
to work out,
them.
The Packers.
Yeah.
Yes. The Packers would have to win out. They play them. The worst they can do is tie. The way the tiebreakers are stacked, I don't think Detroit can actually pass them, but that isn't a done deal either. That strength of victory is involved, and that's very very malleable and stuff too. So
I didn't put this on here, but don't they also have the same record as Atlanta?
They do. Right now they own the tiebreaker over Atlanta.
They do. Okay.
And I think that could change, but I don't know for sure that it can change. I haven't even given much thought to Atlanta because like
who cares?
So much it's has Atlanta. To go right that I haven't even like considered that as a wild card. But right now they have the tiebreaker over Atlanta.
This is like full on.
Atlanta, by the way, has the number one rushing DVOA receiver. I was shocked when it wasn't Watson. Sorry.
Who is it?
It's his name is hard to pronounce. Shouldn't it?
Oh no.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, Anthony Schwartz is actually number one in rushing. Number one in low sample size because Christian Watson is. Oh shoot. Oh, all my charts are failing me. Okay.
Is it the really short guy?
No, it is the really short guy. It's Olamid Zaccheaus.
Yeah, okay. He was the answer on Weddle the other day, and it pissed me off.
Okay.
You guys ever play Weddle?
No.
It's like Hurdle.
It's like Wordle.
It's Wordle, but it's...
Yeah.
You have to guess NFL players. Yes, I see.
Love it, Weddle.
Anyway, I guess my point is Olamid Zaccheaus is secretly kind of good. That's all.
Yeah. Well, he's basically Trindon Holiday. Like, but they're using him correctly.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember him? He's the guy that Pat McAfee blew up on a punt return. but this is like full on basketball territory. Like when they're explaining the playoff picture for the Bears, and they're like, okay, well, then they're going to have to go against the North Northwest division where they can play in a triple double header against Miami. Like that's how the playoff picture is looking at this point.
You need Seattle to lose a lot.
Seattle's
you
I
need
think.
The Giants and the Commanders to torpedo as well.
Yeah, you basically need the Eagles to run the table and Seattle to lose a lot. And that would
What if Washington puts in Wentz?
Why would they do that?
Is it right. because Heinicke broke?
No, I'm saying Heinicke's good. So like, what if they put Wentz back in? Then they start losing really badly.
I just don't know why Washington would
do that.
Prefer.
Because Washington's dumb?
They're not dumb.
No, they're not that dumb.
They benched Wentz for Heinicke.
I thought he was hurt.
I don't think so. Is he?
Yeah, I thought they put Wentz down because he was hurt.
maybe initially.
Initially, yeah.
They're not going back. They know.
No, I mean they have a very good path to the playoffs. Yeah, like if they beat they really needed to not tie the Giants, but if they beat them, they're absolutely in really good shape to get that last playoff spot.
They're going to make it. They're totally going to make
it. Playoff spot even. Yeah, it's a bummer. It's just not going to happen.
Isn't there there's a single scenario where the Packers actually get the sixth spot?
I mean, it would require Seattle to lose out and the loser of the Giants Commanders to also lose out.
Yeah.
That wouldn't even do it. You'd need the Giants and the Commanders, one of them, you know, they're going to win the head to head and then lose the rest of the games, and Seattle lose the rest of the games and the Packers win out. And yeah, then they'll be the six. So all they need is, let me think, 13 outcomes to go their way. And I think I might even be shortchanging that, but if it all works out, yep. Good for them.
Yeah.
This is one of those things where it's like, if you put $5 on a parlay, then you end up with $150,000.
You end up rich. Yep.
And of course we just skirt past the fact that the Packers have to win a game in Miami to make any of this matter in the first place.
Oh yeah, they have to win out. Well, they have to beat Minnesota, which granted, I don't know if that's that complicated, but that is a 10-2 team, regardless of the nonsense that they have has allowed
them. The Vikings aren't as good as their record, but they are good at beating the Packers. So
yeah, they are.
That's all you need.
The Packers' last win in Miami was the fake spike game. Yeah.
That could be.
It's been a while.
Is that the last time they played them
in Miami? It's the last time they played in Miami. So,
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it just also bears mentioning that the Packers haven't played an inspiring game once this season.
Nope.
You could maybe say the first Bears game was the only truly convincing win they've had. Everything is in overtime or gross, but technically a win.
So many gross wins.
I mean, they went 18 points unanswered against the Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it just doesn't matter to they just don't. They're just not good. They're not a good football team.
It's not a good football team.
It's not a good football team. That's the fundamental problem with the Packers, is they're not good. Yeah.
All right, let's get to questions, shall
let's
we?
Let's do it.
Patreon, of course, patrons get question priority. Mark Butscarby always gets question priority. He's at the top of the list. In the last 4 weeks, the Packers have two big fourth quarter comebacks. Does this dispel the notion that this team has no heart or that they have quit on the coaches? That's a good question.
Quit on this question.
They were super fired up to come back on the Bears. They seemed really into it. And I don't think that they aren't trying. I just think they're bad at a lot of things.
There have been a couple times this year. Philadelphia comes to mind on defense where it just, I realize they probably it's a huge leap to say that any team has quit. It requires just, you know, I just don't think that happens hardly ever. Yeah. I know people think it happens all the time. I think it happens hardly ever. But there were times where it was like, seriously, you can't tackle anybody. You guys are arm tackling every on every down. There are times where it's like there feels like there's something missing that might even be more than just scheme and talent. But it probably is just scheme and talent, really.
95% is that.
At least we got Rudy Ford and Keyshawn Nixon.
Rudy Ford, by the way, up to number one in PFF grading as a safety.
No way. No,
yeah, kidding. Overall.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Another flash play from him. Nixon's awesome. I mean, even if Nixon like makes mistakes, he is a good time. And at this point in the season, when you're 5-8, you respect good times.
Rich Pisacci is the best GM on this team.
I was going to say, if Nixon could stop doing his freaking DeSean Jackson loaf of bread carry of the football, that would just make me just the happiest.
Clearly, Joel Osment, how much draft capital is Love worth right now? And is that number also worth a fifth-year option? Has the reluctance to play him been some sort of long-con conspiracy to drive down his market value and increase the likelihood he'll take a team-friendly multi-year deal? No.
No. If anything, not playing him has been to increase his market value. Because
didn't Goot just say that they already made the decision on his fifth year option?
He said that he has been on record as saying we would love to have him. We would entertain that or whatever. But
it's Weasley. Until they actually exercise it.
See, but I swear to God, it was this week he said something along the lines of like, we've seen enough to make a decision on his fifth year option, whether he plays more or not.
Even that's not saying they're going to exercise it.
True, but
that's still Weasley.
I really think they're going to exercise it. And I mean, even though that is a financial commitment, I don't know if it's quite the bank breaker that, you know, to have a quarterback who knows the system on the roster, even as a backup, I think has value enough. But I'm not sure of that. I don't know. First rounders are, you know, expensive. I don't know.
I think everything's on the table with him. I think they'll exercise it, but they will entertain trades if they're out there. Absolutely. I think that is the case. And every good game he plays increases the odds both of him coming back and of getting traded.
Yeah. Devlin Sheehan, the quarterback situation, man, is you could bend yourself in all kinds of mental gymnastics trying to figure out what happens there. Devlin Sheehan, I have a team building question. Generally speaking, should a team invest more draft capital in offense or defense? For a long time, I thought it made sense to invest more on defense because you can get by on offense without a deep bench of blue chip talent, provided you have a good quarterback, scheme, and play caller. Since the 2012 draft, the Packers have spent 11 first-round picks and 6 second-round choices on defensive players. Their best DVOA rankings over that time were 8th in 2012, 9th in 2015. I'm trying to determine whether this lack of return on investment is a result of systemic ineptitude within the Packers organization or just bad luck.
Well, all you have to do is look at the last couple drafts by Ted Thompson and go, that's why.
Yeah, but to answer your question more specifically, you should draft offense. You should invest more draft capital in offense. And the reason for that is because you control offense. Defense fluctuates a ton from year to year. It's not a good way to build consistent success. Defense just is not something you can count on being there every year. Offense is. If you have a strong offense, you can dictate a lot. You can have a slightly less good defense if you can play from ahead. You can sacrifice some talent on the run game if you can do that. If you get behind, it's a different story. You get more bang for your buck on it. Absolutely on offense. Defense shouldn't be an afterthought. You need to be good at everything. But draft capital goes further on the offensive side of the ball.
It does seem like... Go ahead, Matab.
Oh, I was going to say, also, when you look at the Packers picking in the first round during those years, they're picking so close to the last pick of the first round that you're honestly picking second round talent at that point.
Yeah, true.
It does seem like this team cannot find defensive people in the draft. You know, there's just been so many misfires, and the TJ Watt, Kevin King situation, like that's, I mean, just imagine how this franchise changes if Ted Thompson does what people wanted them to do, and they keep drafting these first rounders who are in many cases, okay. Rashawn Garrett's good, certainly better than good, but like, like he says in the question, they keep pumping resources into a defense and it's not making the defense better.
No, it's not. It is really not.
Yeah, like,
need to fix the coach there.
I'm happy with Rashawn Gary now, or I was before he got hurt. But like, Brian Burns was that guy from day one. Like,
he
the
was.
Guy that Rashawn
great
the
point.
Guy that Rashawn Gary is now, Brian Burns has been since a rookie.
Yeah, I don't like that's projects for that reason. If you lose 2 years of development time, that's a lot of time that you don't have good production.
Yeah,
especially with an aging quarterback. Like, that's the thing. The draft and develop doesn't necessarily work when you do have a limited window.
Yeah, we've said this a few times, but we talk about fifth year options. Like, yeah, okay, Rashawn Gary developed, and then you have to know whether to, you have to pay him again,
yep.
Right? You need those guys to be good early. I agree with you, Matab, especially with an aging quarterback. Like, you know, nobody's excited about year one of Jordan Love or year two of Jordan Love. You know, then get guys now and worry about year three of Jordan Love in year one of Jordan Love, you know?
Or just draft Jalen Hurts instead.
Indeed. PJ Wessel says, what are some of the best or worst bye week stories you've heard in the NFL? It doesn't have to be the Packers. I guess he means like scandals, bye week scandals or something.
I mean,
like that.
For me, it's got to be the Giants in their playoff bye week, right?
I don't know that story.
The Giants all went on a
Odell Beckham and stuff. Yeah.
Odell Beckham and a bunch of the Giants went on a cruise in Miami
and
then lost to the Packers the next week.
So like Varsity Blues.
Yes.
Okay.
They all went to a strip club and they met their English teacher. And then they lost to the Packers.
Was the Vikings sex boat off season or was that a bye week?
I believe that was off season.
Okay.
Also, Love Boat, Paul.
All right, please. Whatever.
Please. Yeah, I truthfully don't know of any that are super exotic or super weird. I know NFL teams are dreading them because. Not dreading them for the benefit of the health of their football team, but dreading them for like they don't have control over the players for X number of days.
Well,
they don't know where they are.
H.A. Dillon is using this time to stream on Twitch. So he's doing pretty well for himself.
Yeah, that's the thing. Most of these guys have been like trained athletes their whole lives. Everything has been about the sport they play. They are boring. They only think about football and video games, right? Like most of these guys are not. I realize that's a little naive to say that there's going to be some people right now who are out clubbing somewhere and whatever. But like most of these guys are boring.
Oh,
they have families.
Oh. Sexboat bye week, October 6th, 2005.
It was the bye week. Okay, yep. So there you go. So the Minneapolis Love Boat scandal.
That's the answer.
best bye week story.
That's a really good way to spend a bye week. It is. I will go to my grave defending that as such. No,
the
I'm
funniest,
not serious.
Like, literally having a sex boat party on Lake Minnetonka is just hilarious as a concept. Like it's a comedy sketch. It's
truly special.
I mean, I can't hear the words Lake Minnetonka without thinking about the Dave Chappelle sketch about Prince. Why don't you cleanse yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka?
Game.
Fred
Smoots.
Fred Smoots, the organizer.
JD asks, Keyshawn Nixon now the top offseason in-house re-signed to get done just behind Rashawn Gary?
I would say Rudy Ford over Keyshawn Nixon, but
I guess I am in a like I'm feeling like Rasul Douglas isn't bad.
He's fine,
but I don't know. Like I'm not in a hurry to sign the 1 year wonders just yet. Yeah. Maybe I'm still. I don't know if I'm like gun shy about it, but
I think that's fair. I also wouldn't dump a whole bunch of money. Like it's not the time for that. You know, if you're trying to get over the top and right. Lightning in a bottle, that's fine. That's not where we are right now.
But so. I'm also saying that Rudy Ford would be a cheaper sign than Nixon.
They're both also, cheap. Neither will cost a lot. Like just
right. But in terms of 1 year wonders, a safety is always going to be cheaper than a corner.
That's true.
And if you want to lean on your strengths, I mean, this is a couple of years where the in-house the pro scouting department, whoever's in charge of finding these guys, like props to them. They know what they're doing, and maybe they'll continue to know what they're doing. Maybe they'll continue to find like unheralded guys off other people's teams.
Yeah.
Or you know,
what the Packers should do is just take every third round pick and beyond and then just trade them away and then only draft off of other people's practice squads.
Yeah. By the way, this is now the Devin Aroma should do part of the show. The week the week after the Sexboat scandal, the Vikings got absolutely annihilated by the Bears 28-3. And that was a Dante Culpepper Vikings team. So, you know, oof. Pretty good. It was a Kyle Orton Bears team. And they were powered by Thomas Jones' 89 yards on 23 carries and 2 touchdowns.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It was
good stuff.
It was rough.
I do love me a good Kyle Orton story. Yeah. Just the
16 of 25 for 117 yards in that game.
Do you guys know how Kyle Orton retired?
With a beard soaked full of Jack and Coke, I assume.
So he was on the podium and was like, oh, hey, guys, I forgot something in my locker. And then left the stadium and never came back.
Wow. Nice.
It's not as baller as the guy who retired at halftime. I forget.
Also a Bill.
Yeah.
Kyle Orton did it as a Bill. It was a... Not Tre'Davious White. It was
it's a name like that though.
It was a good corner, and
yeah,
I'm blanking on.
He's just like, nah, I'm out, and he stayed out. Old man on a bike in Shirlington with us again. I'm an old man on a bike who thinks he posted his question a few hours ago, but it seems to have disappeared. This old man could also just be confused. I continue to be impressed by the speed of Watson, who I'm fairly confident could outrun me on a bike, although probably not a cursed e-bike. What's the ceiling for Watson or Dubs? We've talked about Watson. We think he's a star, but man, Romeo Dubs getting back. Like he practiced last week. He ended up being inactive for this game. He's missed 4 straight. This is an interesting possibility here. If Romeo Dubs can actually kind of get back off the injury and live up to that potential, you've got him and Watson at full capacity. Now, like, I don't know, like you could see that working. You could see them winning a bunch of games down the stretch.
I mean, I think your ceiling for Watson is Tyreek Hill with Moss ability.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I literally think it's basically Moss is the ceiling on
Jesus
Watson.
Christ.
Well,
so like I've made a lot of Moss jokes. So here's a fun fact about Randy Moss. Randy Moss caught a touchdown on 24% of his catches his rookie year.
Yeah.
Christian Watson has caught a touchdown on 30% of his catches his rookie year.
That is correct.
So
future Hall of Famer.
I'm not kidding about that. Just every time he catches the ball, he might house it. That's Randy Moss. That's the Moss's better hands, but other than that, that's the skill. So, yeah. I think Dobbs ceiling, I think, is kind of like drivery. Like a very, very good, but maybe not super great receiver. And that's, I think, kind of his game as well. He's not he's an okay deep threat, but he is definitely in.
Dobbs was going to be like, to me, he's like Tyler Lockett, where every couple of years, if Dobbs lives up to his ability, every couple of years, someone's going to write an article that's like, hey, what about Romeo Dobbs?
Dobbs? Yeah. Okay.
Like, in the exact same way that they write about Tyler Lockett. Like that's what I see.
Lockett is actually a very high ceiling. He is excellent. So I'm down for that.
Right, but like, do you see? But like a high ceiling, but unheralded.
Yeah.
Dr. Hillbilly asks: it appears the Packers are going to let Aaron Rodgers play more games, despite their need to see Jordan Love play complete games. It's true down the roster as well. Reed over Wyatt, Watkins over Toure, etc. Why not evaluate the young players in a lost season? And who is making these, presumably wrongheaded, but maybe you'll tell me otherwise, decisions?
Matt LaFleur is making those decisions.
Yes.
And some of them are wronger than others. Yes, that is definitely true. But I do think that until their goose is cooked and they're dead for the playoffs, they're going to go with their comfortable lineup and their veterans who know stuff to try and get there. So that's it. That's why they're doing it, right or wrong.
Until their goot is cooked?
Yes, until their goot is cooked. Also, I will say, Sammy Watkins does suck horribly, but in his defense... he did have a very nice block on the Watson touchdown.
And he had a half-hearted block and then started celebrating.
And then partying like he erased the guy. It's like, yeah, that's me, baby. That's me. Yep.
So the guy that Sammy Watkins blocked is the closest person to Watson in the end zone.
He is. That's true. You're
not wrong. So Sammy's like, I barely got in that guy's way. There's no way he's catching him. Go, go, go.
It's so true. Oh, it's so true. Patrick Detmer says, Paul, thanks for the inspiration for this question because of a Halloween tweet a few weeks ago.
Okay.
I'm intrigued. If you had to compare yourself or someone from the Packers roster, coaching staff, or front office to a character from the Homestar Runner web series, who would it be and why?
Myself or someone from the Packer roster? Let's see. I should have thought about this one in advance.
this is a really good question, and I feel like
so. While you're thinking,
mini pod.
Yeah.
While you're thinking, I have very little relationship with Homestar Runner. I was not into this. I was in college. I had other interests at the time. But I do remember. I think it's Strong Bad. Is that a character?
Yes.
He was thinking of a party theme, and he's like, "For the theme for your next frat party, how about you have the theme frat party?" Everybody sitting around playing guitar, wearing khaki pants.
Your Strong Bad's really good.
Every time I see Jim Harbaugh in his khaki pants, I think khaki pants.
Okay, so I think Aaron Rodgers is Strong Bad.
I was going to say Marzipan.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah. The reason I say Strong Bad is Strong Bad is very into himself.
True.
He is the straw that stirs the drink.
Also true.
For better or for worse.
Yeah.
But also can make things go awry very terribly.
Yeah. That's...
Do you think Strong Bad has opinions on 9/11 or vaccines?
I do. I do.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking about someone who has boxing gloves for hands and installed a secondary light switch so his Pikachu-looking sidekick can turn the lights on and off.
I guess Strong Mad for Rashawn Gary, maybe?
No,
why?
Strong Mad would be like, see, that's the thing, is they don't really have like a big stupid like
TJ Slayton.
I guess, yeah, like TJ Slayton's just like a whole lot of dude, and that's what he does, and that's kind of what Strong Mad does.
Yeah, I guess Zach Tom is Homestar.
Yes,
he's a fantastic athlete, but he's real thin, and yeah.
Okay, and then Coach Z would be
Joe Barry.
Oh, Joe Barry.
Coach Barry sucks. That's the best one. That's the answer. Coach Z is Joe Barry.
Because
Coach Z sucks and Joe Barry sucks. So
I'm strong, sad.
Just that's obviously my thing. So
All right, K-Time 7.
I'm gonna go watch old Homestar Runner.
Not me. K-Time 7 says, I own Green Bay Packers stock. Packers have Aaron Rodgers under contract. Aaron owns the Bears by the transitive property. Do I own the Bears?
Yes, you do, as do
Congratulations.
I. Well done.
Brian Ziegler, do we actually believe that Matt has total control over his staff? Because I think we can all smell that pasture.
Well, Ryan, I don't have a staff, so I don't.
Jesus. You could have gone a different way with that, fortunately. Didn't. But I don't know. I feel like he does. I
feel like he does as much as any coach does. I mean, you have to provide a certain amount of autonomy. Like, if you don't like what your defensive coordinator is doing, yes, you can just take over defensive coordinating, but Matt LaFleur doesn't do that. And I'm sure that he has had conversations with Joe Barry. He mentions angrily in post-game press conferences that things went against what he wanted, and so I know he does that kind of thing. So I think he's all right on that.
We're moving to Twitter questions. There's a really good one coming up. Jonathan Deal, though, Jonathan Deal, always a great question. How long will the Packers be the all-time NFL wins leader? We expect a few years down for the rebuild while the Bears seem to have a dynamic quarterback to build around. Was this only a temporary record?
All records are temporary. And
the Bears won from 1920. It was doomed to fail at some point. Yep. And all these decades later, here it is.
I'm just amazed at, like, when I saw the graphic of it, like, how long the Giants were in the running.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all it. You just got to be an old franchise. You just got to have.
Yeah,
I mean, first
of all, there's huge selection bias here. That's part one.
Of course.
So you're always going to have, like, there's only like 8 teams that can do it in the first place.
I was going to say 7. There was only 7. Well, because that's the thing is, like, some of the early franchises were terrible.
Yeah.
Like, the Steelers weren't good, and neither were the Eagles.
Nope.
And the quality of play in these years, like, we're talking about backyard football for several years here. So, you know, I don't know. It's kind of meaningless. But everybody, I feel like as much as that was touted after the game, everybody understands, you know, it was with some tongue in cheek. Yeah. I think everybody understands it. But it is funny that they slowly but surely caught the Bears through the last couple decades here. And I think they'll build up a little bit of a cushion here this year yet, because I don't know if I expect the Bears to win any more games. Maybe the Packers get one or two more. I don't know. Maybe not. All right.
So they'll lose it sometime next year, is what you're saying.
Yes, maybe. That's exactly what I'm saying. All right. Aaron Alice, who is one of my favorite Twitter follows, the tag is heroin. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, if I'm missing how to pronounce
it. I believe it's pronounced heroin, but it's spelled different.
All right. Very good. She asks, would you rather be itchy for the rest of your life or sticky for the rest of your life?
this is probably aimed at me because I do the horrible would you rather questions.
Yes.
I would rather be sticky for the rest of my life because I feel like that would bother everyone else and not me.
I feel like, so I know she caveated this later on in the thread with the limitations on your ability to eliminate the stickiness, but I still go sticky. Like, being itchy would just be obnoxiously horrible forever. And I feel like even if you have to be technically sticky, there's ways to deal with that. Like, you can out-clever stickiness. Neither's good, but that's the answer.
Just wear gloves all the time.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would choose itchy, to be honest.
Really?
Sticky, what? Sticky would it bothers me so much to have sticky hands, sticky anything. Itchy, if you scratch it, you have. I mean, it might come back, but you know, it's satisfying for a little bit, right? So I don't know.
But see, in my mind, the perma itchy means that you would never reach
be able to satisfy it, even a little
even
bit.
The modicum of satisfaction.
All right, I'd rather be itchy.
I don't know who asked this question. It disappeared.
Oh, yeah. We don't have a name on this question. Oh, that's interesting.
I'll go find it while you ask the question.
All right. So I'm going to skip to the next one then. Reed Wolski. Does anyone else want the NFL to clean up offensive alignment? There's supposed to be 7 players on the line of scrimmage. I understand letting the tackles off the line, but offline eligible players should be deeper than the tackles.
I think this is partially related to last week's observation of the Eagles' right guard looking in a lot for the silent snap count, and which had a big discussion because I asked it because I don't know about line play in APC Slack, and everybody was kind of like, yeah, everybody does this because you need to be able to do it to do a silent count, but it definitely is something that you stretch a little bit on the rules because people are moving that are supposed to be set all the time, and I don't care that much is my answer. But I think we could get to a point where this is abused pretty significantly. So it's never bothered me. Maybe will start you now that I know it's there. But it's the kind of thing you could definitely use to your advantage and push on. So, yeah.
All right, Ryan asks, what are we going to do with the cap situation? Keep kicking the can and pushing money into the future years, or cutting players? I mean, they're always going to be kicking the can to some degree.
Yes.
Yeah, they have to some degree. They can't fix it all in 1 year. But at some point, they're going to just be bad for a year, and they'll let as much of that cap hit them as possible that year, and then they'll do it probably for one more year, and then kind of reset and go from there. That's how that's going to work. As soon as they can't win, that's what will happen.
Are there examples that you know of any teams that have sort of the bill came due and then they were good anyway? Like they got a couple of random performances. I mean, have any teams?
I actually think
that
the Saints are close to that.
Yes.
If Jameis Winston would have stayed healthy, I think they would be that.
The Saints were in cap hell every year for the last 10 years. Like they are the definition of cap hell ever since Drew Brees got paid a whole lot of money. And I never understood how they continued to be in the race.
They are sort of paying the piper now. They are limited, and that's why they can't fix a lot of their problems. But and they're not good, but they're not that bad. They keep managing to field competitive teams.
Yeah, and they really were just a Tom Brady sequence Monday night away from kind of being tied for first in that division. You know, that division is crap, but that's the other thing. Like the NFC North doesn't. You know, they could have a down year where everybody sucks, and then the Packers just happen to be the best of what's around. They've done that before. You know, they went 8-7-1 1 year and made the playoffs. You could see that happening, I guess, but that's obviously relying on a lot of things that are out of their control. All right, Discord questions. Major Mosley asked, would it be possible to trade Rodgers in the offseason? What would be the cap implications of doing so, and would they need this? Would they need his buy-off? I assume he means sign-off on a trade. We've talked about this before that no matter what happens, they could trade him and it doesn't matter. A massive bill will come due and it will hurt them no matter what.
I believe that part of it is they could do a restructure that would allow the new team to take on a large portion of his cap hit.
Partially, yes. Salary wise, that's true. More than anything, the biggest problem the Packers have is they can't trade him before June 1st and have any reasonable cap scenario occur. And as everybody knows listening, the draft occurs before June 1st, which makes it impossible to trade Aaron Rodgers for current draft picks. You can trade him post June 1st for future draft picks. That's kind of your best case scenario.
Yeah, but it would still cost a ton in the short term.
It would cost a ton, yeah. It would accelerate quite a bit. I think it would be $40 million next year. You would not have the option, so it would not be the $60 million the following year, but it would be a lot of money, yes.
Also, I wonder if it would be possible to have a handshake, wink, wink, nudge, nudge agreement where it's like, okay, we give you a sixth and a seventh, and you give us two firsts and 2 seconds and a third. And then we will also give you Aaron Rodgers for a sixth swap in the future or something like that. Is that against the rules explicitly?
Probably, but I don't know.
We just haven't seen it done.
Yeah.
So it makes me feel like there's some stipulation how that can't happen. I don't know. Chris 2020 asks, I was really hoping to see Tipa come back. Tipa go away.
You and Justice, you are the only two people who wanted to
big fans. Yes.
Yeah. Tipa has quietly just not been reactivated off IR. Caleb Jones, who went on, had an illness, had mono. And then
it was mono.
Weeks...
So we oh my God, it was the mystery illness for the longest time.
Several weeks he disappeared on the non-injury list, like the illness. It's not the illness list. I'm drawing a blank on what
NFI,
it's called.
Non-football injury.
Non-football injury list. He has still not been activated off of the NFI, even though mono has been cleaned up and he's around practice and stuff. But some creative rostering. We don't maybe need him and we don't want him to take up a 53. So,
Well, maybe they're afraid he's going to kiss people in celebration.
You never know. All right. C. Huttler says, I guess I'm an old man on a bike in Portland who hates running quarterbacks.
Okay.
You know that you're a great commenter / question poster. If you have now your own your own parody.
I love how it's in the Discord. So it is a free parody of a paid Patreon person.
Yes. Anyway. He's an old man on a bike in Portland who hates running quarterbacks. After watching the hurt Jalen put on our defense and listening to Collinsworth talking about his new breed of quarterback who runs and magically doesn't get hurt, it had me wondering if there's any data around or quarterbacks who are frequent runners but versus primarily pocket passers. I would expect to see some difference in efficiency and lifespan if that data exists. I have to imagine if you're using your quarterback to run frequently, they're statistically more likely to get injured, or maybe I'm just an old man in Portland who's been burned by nimble quarterbacks so frequently that I simply harbor resentment against them and want the game to stay the same as it ever was.
Do you know who wrote about this question in his book? About the science of football?
Could it be Tyler Brook?
Tyler Brook
did. Wrote a book.
And
Tyler
Brook
wrote a book.
And I would tell you what he would conclude, but I have not read this chapter yet.
Oh, no.
I skimmed to it, but I haven't finished it.
So I can tell you this.
Okay.
There is no statistical evidence that running quarterbacks are hurt more than pocket quarterbacks.
I'm actually surprised, though.
And in fact, they appear to be hurt less.
Really? That's fascinating.
That is what the data shows.
Huh.
In terms of, I believe it was like missed starts due to injury is the statistic that he used.
Okay. Yeah.
And I believe traditional pocket passers actually get hurt more than dual threat quarterbacks.
Huh.
Yeah. That so really go read Tyler's book. Me. I don't want to completely give it away.
Yeah. I was just trying to think of examples off the top of my head on who running quarterbacks are. And like
when he was writing the book, he posted all of his research in the Slack chat.
Yeah.
That's the only reason that I remember off the top of my head, because I have random computer brain moments.
Because Michael Vick wasn't actually hurt that much when he was playing. He just got suspended for fighting dogs. Steve Young did not get hurt a ton. Joe Montana, in fact, got hurt way more than he did. Let's see. Who else is a good running
player? I wonder, too, because blindside hits, I feel like probably, you know, when your body can't anticipate the hit, that feels like, and I'm just spitballing here, as a possible thing here. When your body can't anticipate the hit, you're more likely to suffer serious injury. So I wonder if, as a running quarterback, you keep the field, you know, the damage in front of you, you're more likely to endure. I don't know.
Yeah, Lamar has missed time, but not a ton.
Roger says that's why he's on his toes the whole time. So then that way, when he gets hit, he gets de-cleated instead of, like, sticking into the ground.
Smart.
Yeah.
All right, interesting. Okay, well, I guess I'll read that tonight so that I can actually...
Yeah, so read...
read Sorry, Tyler.
Tyler Brook wrote a book, Science of Football, and get back to us.
That sounds awesome. That's it, though. We're done.
All right. JR, any plugs?
I don't know. I always come to this question, and I never actually never know. I did write something a little bit about Oklahoma State, the team that the Badgers football team is going to be playing, but I don't think that posted yet as of Tuesday night. Just some notes. Mike Gundy, the I'm a man, I'm 40 guy, is the head coach of Oklahoma State. He is the third longest tenured coach in FBS football at the moment, and really just like a few weeks behind the guy at Utah. So he's basically tied for second. He is still there, has been there since 2005. They have a really good team coming into the year, but they've just been decimated by injuries and their quarterback has transferred and a bunch of other things. So they also had a 32-year-old punter who
was it
who got
Sinbad?
Hurt. No, it wasn't football. That's the only necessary roughness reference I can come up with off the top of my head, Kathy Ireland. But Tom Hutton, I think his name is, but I shouldn't even say that out loud because I don't remember. But he got hurt midway through the year and just was like, forget it, I'm out. I'm going to start a family with my wife because we're 32 years old. So there's some interesting stuff if you're into Badger football. Obviously, the Jim Leonard story is on our website in various incarnations.
Go check that out.
Oh my gosh. And other than that, you know, tiebreakers I'm interested in. We talked about that a little bit as far as it relates to the Packers, Brewers, winter meetings. There's a lot going on at jsonline.com. We got news today that our editor in chief, George Stanley, is retiring, and like soon at the end of the year, he'll be done in at the end of the calendar year, which caught us all by surprise. Very few people knew about this. And so there is a story up at jsonline.com. If you care, you may not care about the behind the scenes stuff or whatever, but I encourage you to read it. George Stanley, very, very awesome, in my opinion. Very good to work with. Awesome boss. Good to me personally. And I am absolutely going to miss him. He's a great, great dude. And a really, truly like is a true believer in journalism and its assets and how to preserve it. And like really, really believes that stuff. I mean I believe it too, but like he's just truly, you know, a crusader for good journalism. Yeah. and we're really gonna miss him. So that's all I got.
Cool. Yep, go check that out. Matt, anything for you?
JR, I'm unsure if you plugged this in the past, but the daily briefing at JS Online.
Yeah, the newsletter. Yeah, I write that on Thursdays and shows up on Friday. The one that I write is on Friday mornings.
Yeah, so I, even though I have not ever lived in Wisconsin, subscribe to the daily briefing
awesome.
from JSonline.com. Like, for example, I'm looking at yesterday's right now. It'll be cloudy with a high near 41 today. Thank you, Sophie Carson. That has nothing to do with me.
No. I'm glad that you subscribe. We have a lot of people who subscribe from out of the area who just want to keep up, you know, passively keep up with what's going on in the Milwaukee area. So we try to have some fun with it.
I have become infatuated with Wisconsin girls volleyball.
Well, it's awesome.
Why?
They're so good.
Oh, you mean the women's volleyball. You mean University of Wisconsin. Yes.
University of Wisconsin women's volleyball. They're so good.
They're the number one seed. They will play Thursday, Saturday here this weekend. And if they win, they'll go back to, I believe it's a fourth straight Final Four, reigning national champion. They are indeed very, very good.
Marquette
is having a great year too. Yeah. The Marquette women, they play this weekend as well. They have to face the top seed, Texas. But you never know. It's a good time.
Stuff happens. All right.
Thank you, Matub. I appreciate you subscribing.
Good work, Matub. As for me, my recap of the Bears game is up with Shepherd Express. This weekend, I wrote a retrospective on sports fashion because I have a bunch of Sears Christmas catalogs that I got because the Sears headquarters in Chicago is clearing out all its merch. And it's pretty good. It has the introduction of Zubas for the first time. It has a short-lived part of the 80s where grown men wore NFL emblazoned sweatsuits with Snoopy on the front. It's a good time. Go check it out. It's great. I will have a game at Acme Packing Company, I believe on Thursday because I have to edit it and I'm tired right now, called Big 12's H2 Woe, which starts out as an RPO simulator where you have to make the right call on the RPO. And devolves into something much different. So keep an eye out for that. Anyway, that'll do it for us. We'll be back, next week with some nonsense for the bye week. And enjoy rooting for a bunch of teams to lose this week.